Okay, we are up to Perikhes. Perikhes Pasik Lamid Beis Vyata Vanim Shemuliv Yashrei Dirachai Yishmaru. Now, my children listen to me. And fortunate is the one who guards my way. Fortunately, you have to hear the word like Ashrei Adam. Ashrei Adam Dirachai Yishmaru. Fortunate is the man who guards my ways. Let's take a look at the Mitzvahs Pasik Lamid Beis. Vyata Vanim Hoyel Vani Chashuva Kolkach Meharoyshe Tishmuli. After this long introduction, where the Torah says that I have been the first, I have been Rashis. Hashem Kononi Reishis Darko. After this long introduction, really going back to Pasuk Chav Beis is the current introduction. The Torah says, "I am very choshev chav before Hakadosh Baruch Hu, being that I am the first of Hakadosh Baruch Hu's creations. I preceded the world. I even preceded. We learned from the Rashi in the Mitzudos the seven things which preceded the world. There were seven things which preceded the world." Five of those were not really physical, they were just conceptual. The two that were more real was the Kisya Kavod and the Torah, and even among those two, I was the first. And then the Torah goes on to describe in very great detail how the Torah exists before the Shemayim, the Aretz, the Tohoim, the Yam, and Adam, and all of the various things. Therefore, what's the bottom line? What's the message? The message is the Ata, now. That I have presented all of this information, you should realize on your own how chav I am before Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it's kedai that you should listen and pay close attention to what I have to say. Shetish muliv yashrei, fortunate, praiseworthy, le'elu asher yishmu derachai, who guard my ways. Rashi, pasuk lamed beis, if there is a Rashi, probably is not. No, there is no Rashi. Now, by the way, now the Medrash interprets this pasuk in reference to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu Sedek L'Shparuchu Vayidor Yaakov Neder Lemar Im Yiyah Lekim Modi Ushmarani Baderech Hazeh Asher Onochi Holech. If you'll guard me on this road which I will go, then I will make this stone into a Mizbeach V'Hoyisi Lila Lekim. And indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu did guide him. V'Ashrei Durachai Yishmeru, Hashem did keep his part of the deal. Yaakov is the one who is fortunate, because he is the one indeed who HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarded, was Shomer his derech. He made this condition with HaKadosh Baruch Hu: I will do mine and you will do yours. Yaakov did his and HaKadosh Baruch Hu did his, and therefore Yaakov is the one who indeed is fortunate. Okay, that is what the Medrash says in a nutshell. Let's now go to Pasuk Lamed Gimel Shimu Musar Vachachamu. The Torah continues and says, listen to the Musar and be wise. The Al Tifrohu, and do not Tifro, the Metudos Sion says, Bimavatl, do not negate, do not destroy the words, my words. Listen to my Musar and become wise. The Metudos David Shimu Betchila Shimu HaMusar. First, listen to the Musar Lios Yiras Hashem Al Peneichem, so that you are God fearing person. As we learned, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, Reishis Chochma Reishis Tas Yiras Hashem. We had that discussion in the beginning of the Sefer, the different types of expression between Shlomo and David, of Reishis Chochma, Reishis Tas Yiras Hashem, but that of course is the first thing. The Achar Kach, and after you have the Yerushalayim, the prerequisite, Limdu Chochma, learn wisdom, be Oz, Bevadai, Lo Sevat Lu Esa Chochma. And then you will not be Bevatal Lu Chochma, Hoil with Taktim Lo HaYiras. So the Ik over here is the Musar, according to the Mitzudos, is a code word for Yirah Shamayim. Shema b'ni Musar Avich Avyan Torosh Limecha, I guess he interprets it, maybe they would also be interpreted in that fashion. The Musar is the Yirah Shamayim, that is a prerequisite for the next word in the Pasuk, Vacha Chomu, and then become wise. And if you will follow these instructions, first Yirah Shamayim and then Chochma, then you can be certain, V'yal Tifrohu, the Torah will not become bottle. The Torah will endure, the Chochmah will last. This is the interpretation of the Metsudos. He's adding in this idea of Yerushalayim, and Rashi does not say Yerushalayim. All Rashi says V'al Tifru V'al Tivatlu Musari. He's learning just the opposite. He's learning that the Bittul is not going on the Torah, on the Chachma, but instead the Bittul would do as an instruction: do not be Mevatel the words of Musar. Take the words of Musar to heart. Take the words of Yerushalayim seriously. Okay, now, before we go further, there's a very interesting piece of Gemara. I forgot where the Gemara is. I didn't bring it with me. I can't remember all these things. I should write things down, it'll be better. But the Gemara talks there, and it has a fascinating story about two Amoraim. They finished learning the halacha, they finished learning the Mikra, the halacha section of the Shir, and then they wanted to learn some Navi. They wanted to learn some Sukkim, some Tanakh, and they had a delay, they had a debate, there was a disagreement between the Amoraim. What should we learn now? We learned Halacha, should we learn now Tehillim, or should we learn Mishle? Those were the two candidates, Mishle versus Tehillim. So one wanted to learn Mishle, and then one wanted to learn Tehillim, then Mishle. So the one that wanted to learn Tehillim quoted this Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk, Shimu Musar v'acha kamu, and become wise, v'al tifrohu, and don't be mevatel, don't negate the musar or the chachma. So he homiletically interpreted the pasuk that the word musar is a code for tehillim, because tehillim is all about yirah shamayim. It's all about the fear of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Mishle, in contrast to tehillim, is chachma. It's wisdom. It's the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. Chochma Shlomo HaMelech. So the Pasuk says the order is first Musar, first Tehillim, then Chochma, the Al Tifrohu, and don't go backwards. You see here, according to the Gemara, the word Tifrohu is interpreted Limafreya. In retrospect, retroactively, we translate the word tifro according to the Mitzvot and Rashi, bittul. Don't negate, don't ignore, do not take lightly my words of Musar and Chochmah. According to the Gemara, the word tifro means don't work backwards. You're going to learn first Chochmah, and then you're going to learn Yirah Shamayim. You're going to learn the out of order, the wisdom. And then you're going to learn how to become a God-fearing person. And then you're going to think that now that I have Yirah Shamayim, I can retroactively, l'mafreya, appreciate the words of Chochmah. It doesn't work like that. Don't think you can go back, you can skip steps, and you can catch up and make up for what you're missing later on. You have to go through the steps. The steps is first, Reishis Chochma is Yiras Hashem. First comes the Yiras Shemayim, and then comes the Chochma. Don't think you can work it backwards, start with the Chochma, and then retroactively after you gain Yiras Shemayim, you will then have a greater insight to the Chochma through the Yiras Shemayim. So that was the story, and indeed, that's what they did. They learned first Tehillim, and then they learned Mishle. So these two words, this is a very interesting Gemara, are code words for Tehillim and Mishle. Mishle is called a Miktsaya of Chochmah. Okay, let's go to next Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Dalid. Pasuk Lamed Dalid Asher. This is a very, very popular Pasuk. This pasuk is also very popular with regard to Daf Yomi. People who learn Daf Yomi by Hadronim, Darshanim, who make Hadronim, they often quote this pasuk. Ashrei Adam Shemeli, fortunate, praiseworthy, is the person who listens to me, the Torah speaking, Lishkoid, who is diligent to attend, to come, Al Dal Soisai, to come to my doors, Yom Yom, daily, Lishmar, to guard Mizuzos Pisachoy, to guard the posts, the doorposts of my entrance. Okay, so what does this pasuk mean? Let's first take a look at the Mitzudos pasuk Lamed Aleph, Lishkod. Lishkod is to be diligent, or here he interprets it a little bit differently. Lishkod to mean Mihirus, to be quick, to be swift, to be a Zoris. To be Zoris. Lamaher Lavoi Al Dal Soisai, to be swift to come to my doors, Bechol Yom, Ulasheves, to sit Bekeva, bekevat to sit with permanence b'mezuzos pesochai within the posts of my entrance, kederech hashemer hayeshev meshamer bekevah, like a guardian, like a guard. A guard sits by the door the entire day. He's there in a state of kvi. So fortunate is the person that comes. And of course, who are my doors? The Torah is the one that is speaking. So the Torah is saying, fortunate is the one that comes to sit and learn daily. That's why this is such a good pasuk for Daf Yomi. Daf Yomi is every single day is another day. Whether it's Yom Kippur, whether it's Tisha B'Av, no matter what the situation is, summer, winter, fall, spring, no matter what the situation is, a person is lishkoid, he is diligent, to come al-dosai, to my doors, the doors of the base medrash, because again, the subject is, the Torah is speaking, yom-yom, lishmar, to serve according to the mitzudos, to behave like the shomer ha-pesach, just like the shomer ha-pesach, it is his job to sit by the door 24-7, likewise, praiseworthy is the person who comes to sit and learn in the base medrash permanently, just like the guardian is there permanently. Okay, so this is the parish of the Mitzudos, and Rashi says kemat the same thing. Likones rishoin. Rashi adds a little bit more. Likone to be the first person. Fortune is the one who comes first. Lebeis hamidrash or lebeis hakneses. For lot says acher, and to be the last one to leave, to be the first one there, and to be the last one out. Now, how do you get the last? Rashi, it's very obvious. Lishkod means to be quick, so quick means to be first. But where do you see here that you're the last? So the commentators explain what it says, lishmar, to stand guard. Mezuzos pesochoi, the post of my door. If you're the guard, guard means you're there to the very, very end. Because if you're not there to the very end, you just come for shachris and then you're out. So you're not standing guard. If you're standing guard, that means that you're there continuously until the very end. Now we all know famous Chazal that a person should always strive to be from the first 10 people who come to the Beis HaKnesses, because the first 10 people are the ones who bring the Shechina down to this world. There's also a saying, I don't know where this comes from, I don't even know if it's true, that the one that comes first is Leitel Schar Neged, the first 10. Everyone knows the Chazal that the first 10 people, they receive reward Keneged everyone who comes later. If you have a Beis HaKnesses, you're going to have 100 Mispalim, there's going to be reward. We don't know what the reward is. There's going to be reward for every single member who comes to the Beis HaKnesses. So we all know that the first 10 people who come, who bring the Shechina, their reward will equal the sum of the reward of all 100 people that will ultimately come. What about the person who comes first? So there is such a saying. I don't know if anyone can hear this saying. And the one that comes first, he receives reward that is equal to the reward of the first 10 people, who in turn are receiving reward k'neged the entire. So it's intensified. The first person's reward is intensified. Where does that come from? I have no idea if that's even true, but there is this Rashi, and Rashi.
That's a misinterpretation of the thing that the last guy gets to number 10. It's all 10.
It's all 10, connected, everyone that will come.
I should say that thought that he just expressed.
Yeah. Doesn't this?
It's not
correct.
Not understood.
Means the first ten get reward that's equal to the reward of all members that will come later on. But what about the first person? So indeed, you do have this. Rashi is quoting a Gemara. This thing is Asher Lishkoi. Rashi, this is a Chazal. I don't know who this is, but it's Chazal that says there's something to the first person. I don't know if it says anywhere the first person, this shachul keneged the first 10, which in turn a shachul keneged everyone else. But you do see in this Rashi there is something that is great about the very first person. Lahachnis rishon lebeis hamedrash ulebeis hakneses v'lo zachron. Now I notice also Rashi says lebeis hakneses. That's a chiddush, because that's not what it says. Because the pasuk, the simple parish of the pasuk, is discussing the beis medrash. The subject of these psukim is the Torah. The Torah speaking, not the person that's coming to be mispalel. Okay, but yet this is what we have here in the pasuk. Okay, now let me go read you a couple of midrashim. First medrash. One idea we have here, the word dalsosai. Dalsosai is beloshon rabim. It could have said ashrei odom shamei ali lishkoid al delas, al or dals or dalsai. Dal Sai. Why is there an extra Suf? Dal So Sai. The extra Suf emphasizes at least a double door. Some, in fact, want to interpret that it could Dal Sai is plural, and the fact that there's a Suf, an extra Suf, means triple. So we'll come to that in a few moments. But at least the Pasuk is written Beloshen Rabim to indicate that a Beis HaKnesset should have two doors. And the bracha of Ashrei is only given to the person that comes through both doors. And it's very easy for us to relate to in this day and age, where every Beis HaKnes has a lobby. And there are always people hanging out in the lobby. When there's laning, there are people in the lobby. When there's davening, in the lobby. And they're wearing their talis and their tefillin, and they're shuckling, and they're doing, and they look very religious. But that's not what the bracha. The bracha is you have to go through two doors. You come in from the front door, and you come into the lobby. In time of Chazal, it seems you also have lobbies. And then you come in from the lobby into the Beis HaKnesses. And if you find it interesting that today the style of architecture is they have every modern building today has a very big lobby. You go to the old shuls, and Lahavdil, Elif Alva, those the old churches, if you've been in one, they don't have lobbies. The lobbies are teeny. Example, case in point, the Bialystok shul on the Lower East Side. The Bialystok was built as a church. Okay, it was built as a church. It was never occupied.
All the shuls on the east side, except for the Pike Street shul, were all churches.
Pike Street was not. Is Pike Street still there? Is it still there?
It was still there. What?
Is it still there?
No, it's the building is there, but it's
a Chinese. But the Bialystok, the lobby is the size of the table. This table. Right, the size of you walk in the door, the shul is humongous, beautiful, gorgeous, outstanding, it's stunning. But there's no lobby. You go up the big steps, what? All of the old shuls. That was the style of a building. That's architect. That's the old-fashioned style. That's how they built it. They didn't build antechambers. They walk in off the street. You literally walk in off the street into the sanctuary. Where do you put your coat? I don't know. What do they put down? Go downstairs. Downstairs. There's the staircase to go downstairs. That's not the way. No one would get a degree in architecture if you would design a building like that. Every building today is designed. There's a proportion.
The Underground Railroad in the Civil War, the shul, they had big bay. They uncovered a lot of basement area. They had tunnels there in the Bialystok.
They had tunnels in the Bialystok.
Where were
they going?
Where were they going? You talking about the railroad?
Yeah, they had just that. So it was used as a, from when the church was there. They used it. It was a big. It's on a walking tour that they take you in. It was part of the Underground Railroad, Bialystok.
Okay, so this is something, so here it says, here you have a chazal, it seems to indicate that it's not the way it was in ancient times, the way we have it weights today. Today, a new shul that's built is a proportion, is a ratio. If how big is the shul, and relative to how big the shul is, that's how big the lobby. You ever go to the great synagogue in Eretz Yisrael?
Yeah.
So probably the lobby is even bigger than the shul itself. The lobby is humongous. Humongous. What? It's downstairs, then you have to go up the steps. You go up the steps. You're right. But
it's no lobby.
There's no lobby outside the shul. But the downstairs is. I mean, it's that to some degree is the lobby. But Chazal here are telling us that there is such a thing called two delosos. There's the door. You come in from the street into the shul, and then there's another door which takes you into the place where you actually daven. And many people had a tendency not to take davening seriously, but to hang out in the lobby. That's not what's praiseworthy. What's praiseworthy is to go through both doors. You go through both doors, you go into the place where they're actually davening, and you do what you're supposed to do. Then you are worthy of the bracha. Now, the makor for this, of having two doors, really comes, according to what I've read, comes from the Beis HaMikdash. And not the Mishkan, but the Beis HaMikdash, there's the Ulam. Before you go into the Heichal, there's the Heichal, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. One of the things that it was in the Beis HaMikdash that was not, you don't have a real equivalence, you don't have the equivalent in the Mishkan, was the Ulam. Before you come into the Heichal, before you enter into the Heichal, there is this long, very long lobby called the Ulam. It's very small, but the Heichal is not that big either. It's not, what is it, I think 11 Amos? The 11 Amos was the width of the Ulam. So, and there were a door. There was a door that took you from the Azara into the Ulam, and then there's the next door which takes you from the Ulam into the Heichal. There are two doors in the there are two doors in the Azara when you come in. And if you want to go further, there are really three doors. There's the Sharnikinar. There's the door of the Azara, the door of the Ulam, and the door of the Heichal. And according to those commentators that want to say the word Dalsosai really alludes to three doors, not two doors. Because if it really meant two doors, it would say Dalsai. And the fact that it says Dalsosai with an extra suffix coming to magnify, is coming to indicate that we should add another door, there are three doors. And this indeed is the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Every Beis HaKnesses is a Mikdash Ma'at, which would mean to some degree there's going to be three different gateways. There's the Chotzer Beis HaKnesses, you come into the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses, and then you come into the front door of the Beis HaKnesses, and then you come into the next door, the sanctuary, where you actually dab in the Beis HaKnesses, Dugma of the Beis HaMikdash, the Azara, the Ulam, and the Hechol, and the Bracha goes to the one that makes it in all the way to the middle, doesn't just hang out in the courtyard, doesn't just hang out in the lobby.
What's the term you use for two doors?
Two doors? What do you mean?
There's a different word for two doors.
No, you're saying that was Dalsosai.
Oh, Dalsai. Dalsai. It says here, in this pasuk it says Dalsosai. You could have said Dalsai. Dalsai. You don't need a second suff. Dal, look, there are two suffs. Dal, so, sai. The word...
Because the plural is dil, so, so I don't understand.
So dal,
so. Dal, if you would say a dal, if you write the word dal sai, what would that mean? Dil or sai, my door, my singular door. So how would you say it in plural?
Oh, it's king, you know, keep telling what he has. It's
plural. It's plural.
Okay, give me 1 second then. Here, give me Dalsos. Okay, so give me 1 second. I have it. I should have it here. Lishkar al dilosai ein ksev ella dalsosai beis dilosos. Okay, that's not the one I'm looking for. Give me one more moment. Give me one more moment. Okay, here is where it comes from. Dover acher. Don't read it, Dalsosai. Okay, you're right. I don't know the exact nature of this drasha, but the Gemara does. The Gemara, this is in Avos Rabbeinu Nosson. Avos Rabbeinu Nosson, I don't know the grammar, the inner workings of the grammar of this drasha.
It's like what Rabbi Raps always pointed out, use the posik is Sabuni Gam Svavuni. That posik tells you a lot of things about grammar. In other words, you could say it either way. Is kiflayim, you know, lushan. In other words, the lasos end. So the reason you say ososai,
right?
Because you have to finish the word and then add the last. So it would be dalsosai if you say it really.
Okay.
Usually we say, since you're allowed to say dals the lasai, you would normally say it that way because it's simpler and faster. So the fact that he's using the full terminology, in other words, he's not saying something.
So how then would you say it in plural? What's an alternative to dalsosai?
Mentioning that he could have said losai and they said dalsosai, even though that's correct to say.
Okay, there's another word. Dalso. But wait, how?
To me, what you read was 1 plus 2.
Right, but how did you get the 1 plus 2? Why is the Avos Rabbeinu Nosson telling us that there is 1 plus 2? So obviously, I don't know the details, but this word is an unusual form of the word. The word could have been written in a different form. I don't know the form, but the word could have been written differently, and the fact that the Shlomo chose to write it with the word Dal Sosai in an unusual form is hinting to us that it's not just two, but add one more, three, a grand total of three. Now, once you have a grand total of three, then there are many mahalchim. What is the significance of three doors? Now, the Gemara doesn't focus on three doors. The Gemara primarily focuses on two doors. As we said, the first interpretation, you have to go adelis lefnim and adelis, not to linger in the. That's really a medrash, not to linger in the lobby. What the Gemara says, what I think most of us are more familiar with from the Gemara Masechta the Brachos, is a person has to go 8 tzvachim. A person has to enter the Beis HaKnesses 8 tzvachim, which is the area of two doors. Let me read you the Gemara Brachos Daf Ches. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Li'olam Yikones Adam Shnei Pesachim B'Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara, two Pesachim. Shnei Pesachim Salkadaitach, V'chitzach Beis Pesachim L'Beis HaKnesses, Ela Eima, Shi'ur Shnei Pesachim. You should enter into the center. Don't linger in the back of the Beis HaKnesses. Don't just walk in Dalet Amos. Don't sit at the door. Sit in the center. Sit in the front. How do you know this? From this Pasuk of Lishkot Al Dal Sosai. So here, according to the Gemara, it doesn't even mean necessarily there has to be two doors, a lobby, an entranceway, and a door. It just means that within the Beis HaKnesses itself, one should not sit at the entrance, because that shows that you can't wait to get out. And that is a very bad midah, to come to Beis HaKnesses and to be in a hurry to leave. What?
You showed up really late.
Okay, but it's one thing you come late, but it's another thing that you're coming and you're sitting in the back, and you can't wait to leave till you have to enter within two delosos. A delos is dalid amos. Enter eight amos in the Beis HaKnesses. Now, I remember from the Afyomi days that one of the famous one of the popular ideas, why eight tefachim? When you come to the Beis HaKnesses, you have to do two things. Number one, you have to remove from your mind all of the distractions from the outside world. That's number one. Then number two, you have to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just because you remove the distractions does not mean that you're in a frame of mind to properly pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Opening up your mind to be mispal requires hachana, requires preparation. Whether it means just to relax for a couple of minutes and prepare yourself mentally, or to learn, or to say Tehillim, or to do something which puts you in the proper frame of mind to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But before you can do that, you have to do the obvious: turn off your cell phone. Turn off. I know the cell phone's going to go off now, any second now. Turn off the cell phone, or remove from yourself all of the distractions from the world. That's the point. That's what Chazal's deep meaning of two delosos. One, remove distractions. Number two, put yourself in a frame of mind to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, the other Chazal that we quoted from the Ovos to Rabbeinu Nosson is an entirely different Mahalach. It's a very interesting idea that a person should have three teachers. And if not for this Chazal, you would expect you should have two teachers. Who do we learn from? We learn from Yaakov. Who did Yaakov study under? Shem v'Aver. Shem v'Aver were very different types of teachers. In fact, there are different Rashis there. There's another
Yaakov saw Shem, but not when he was 70.
But his Beis Medrash, even though Shem may not have been alive, questionable. But
died 2150.
So Yaakov didn't see him. When he arrived.
I think he passed away when Yaakov was young.
When he was young, before Yaakov.
In other words, it says seven people scanned the world. It says Yaakov, Shem Ra Yaakov.
But only when he was a young man.
Right.
But not at the time when Rashi tells us when he fled from Esav. At that point in time, he already was not alive, and he just learned in his Beis Medrash. Means it's his institution that he established from his
right.
And there are conflicting midrashim. Of Yaakov Avinu, he went to Beis Medrash after when he fled from Esav. Did he go to the Beis Medrash of Shem ve'Aver, or there it just says he went to the Beis Medrash of Aver? Okay, there are different and the darshan. I saw this in different
so
places. No, there were two mahalchim. Like just like in today, there's some. Let's see. You want to give an example? One of many examples of Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch.
Torah 52 when Shem died.
52. Okay. So yeah, for example, how old was he when he fled from Esav?
42.
And how old was he when he fled from Esav?
63.
So impossible. Couldn't have possibly been. But according to one of the Girsos and Rashi, Yaakov did not go to Shem. Yaakov at that point he went to the Beis Medrash of Aver. Why? Because Shem, let's say you talk a hashkaf Torah Lishma, nothing but learning. Lakewood. Right, Lakewood, Torah Lishma, no cheshbonos, don't worry about parnasa, don't make any calculations in life. That mahalach, that was a mahalach that the Mefarshim attribute to Shem. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, Hotzilech V'yayim, Melech Sholem, he operated in a different set of rules. Aver, according to some commentators, was a Beis Medrash where they were practical. Where what's going to be with Parnassah? So half a day we're going to learn, and half a day we're going to... we're going to teach you, right, you're going to participate in the culture. You're going to either serve in the army, or you're going to learn a trade, or you're going to go to college half a day, you're going to be doing something. There's some halach of learning how to deal with this world in a responsible way through with you, the Torah as your partner. That was the Beis Medrash of Eder. Yaakov, Yitzchak, where did Yitzchak go? There's no question. Yitzchak, after the Akedah, this week's Parsha, he went to the Beis Medrash of Shem. Yitzchak was an Oyla Tamima. Yitzchak was not involved in worldly matters. Even though we know next week's Parsha, he dug wells. What exactly does that mean? He was a child of Avraham Avinu. But Yitzchak, from the little bit that we understand about Yitzchak was an Oyla Tamima. He was a Kaddosh. He was not involved in the world to the degree that his son and his father were involved. Yaakov was just the opposite. Yaakov's entire life, he's dealing with community matters. He's dealing with raising 12 children, and he's dealing with Shechem and Hamor, and he's dealing with going down, go Lavan, 22 years, working 22 years, and he's dealing with going with Yosef, what's going to be with food, Shevim and Mitzrayim. Yaakov Avinu was dealt with the real world. And therefore, when did this transition take place? When he fled from Esav, when he went to go work for 22 years, and therefore it says that he went first to learn in the Beis Medrash according to one gear, so the different gear source in Rashi. You take out a chumash and Rashi parshas vayetze, and you look at the Rashi, and you take a different chumash, and you'll find different girsos. He fled from Esav. He went for 14 years to Beis Medrash. Shel Aver. Why? Now it was a time he had to be retrained to prepare for life, and Golish required him to a new curriculum, a different type of Beis Medrash with a different hashkafa. What he learned until now was very good. That was, and really, this machlekes between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Hanoch Halaych Bochem Minig Derecheres. There are two different opinions. Does anyone remember the Gemara? Rabbi Yishmael. And I don't remember, there are two Atanoim. What should a person do? Should a person focus on Derech Eretz, or should if you're going to learn Derech Eretz, what's going to be with the Torah? What? Matel Leha. So therefore, you learn Torah and don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide. And then the Gemara goes on to say, many people did like that Mahalach. They spent their whole life learning Torah, and they were not successful. It's not a Mahalach for the masses. It's a Mahalach for Yechidim, for select individuals, not for the masses. Okay, so this is, from that Medrash and that Gemara, you get the impression that a person should have a little bit of both. A little bit of both. There's a time in life when you're young, you can go for kollel for 1 year. That's a mahalach of Beis Medrash Shel Shem. But then it comes time you have to go out to the real world. You can't sustain that derech in life.
So what other talmidim?
What?
The yeshiva.
Sir, only
two people in the yeshiva.
V'yas ha-nefesh asher osu v'charon. L'chor, those are the people.
So what happened to them?
What happened to them? So one chazal says they all went off the derech. They all went off the derech. They were all gone. There were no survivors. There were no survivors. But the whole yeshiva was kedai for one talmid. Who was the one talmid? Yaakov. I once heard a rebbe say they made a program, the yeshiva, I'm in Chaim Blin, they had a program for a certain type, a side program for a certain type of immigrants, a certain country, the whole story. And by and large, they were matzliach. By and large, most of the people that they took in, and it was part of this program, they had a special Rebbe, and a special, try to integrate them into the classes. It didn't go off that all that well, but there was one Talmud that was a Mitzuyan. Came out to be a big Talmud Chacham, now is Isaac in all different things. And I remember Rav Chaim Siegel saying, Chaim Siegel was the Menahel of Chaim, and he says the whole program was Kedai just for this one Talmud. Even though there were a lot of problems in many ways, you don't know one student. Yaakov Avinu was the one student that was matzliach in the Beis Medrash Shel Aver, even though we don't find other talmidim. Okay, but the point I want to make is like this: we have over here this Medrash, this Gemara. There are two mahalachim. There's a mahalach of Haneg Bohem Minog Derechertz, and then there's the mahalach of Torah Matahel Leha. You have to learn Torah Lishma. and obviously the different types of institutions. Shame the aver. That's really what it's about. So you would think every person should have a taste of both. I have a taste. You should have an appreciation of someone else's derech in life. You don't have to live there in mahalach in life. But it's interesting to have an appreciation of how minhag today. It's very popular to appreciate the minhagim of other people that we don't follow. But this Gemara, this Ovos, the Rabbeinu Nosson says a bigger chiddush. You should have three mahalchim in life. Two is not enough. Three mahalchim. And how do you know? Where do you find a source? This pasuk. Ashrei, praiseworthy is the person, Adam, Shameali, who listens to me, who studies my Torah. You don't just go to one Rebbe. Lishkoi al dal sosai. It could have said another word, which is much simpler. It said dal sosai is a very unusual plural of doors, which means three doors. You should learn by three teachers. Only when you learn by three, you have three different mahalchim in Torah, are you a shalem. Three different ways to appreciate Hashem's Torah, three different hashkafas in life, that's where you'll be successful. Right, so today, it's interesting. Today, one of the criticisms of this generation, you hear this all the time, I don't know if it's really is that today there's no such thing. Where did the boy learn? So you always hear about it. Where did the boy? Well, he started out in kindergarten in this school, and then for elementary school he went here, and then for high school he went here, but it was 1 year, 12th grade, he went to a different high school, and then Beis Medrash 2 years here, 1 year here, he went to Eretz Yisrael, 1 year here, 1 year there, he came back, he went to this place, and then he ended up in Lakewood, and now he's in Lakewood. So what is he? What is he? Defined, who is this boy? Is he a Tarvadas boy? Is he a Chaim Berlin boy? Is he a mirror boy? Who is he? Well, you know, he's a traveler. You know, it used to be, they write about this in the newspapers, it used to be years ago, there's a Tarvadas boy, there's a YU boy, there's a Chaim Berlin boy, there's a boy who learned in the mirror. And you right away can put your finger on him. You can understand who is he? He's a product of this yeshiva. And you can relate to him. You can relate to him, and you can read him an appropriate shidduch. Not anymore. We don't have this today. Everything is a big mishmash, and it's usually used in a very critical way. It's usually used in today's, at least in the newspapers, as a criticism of this generation. You don't have anyone. But on the other hand, it's true. I'm not coming to deny that it's a problem. There are milas. Every time there's every situation, there are milas, and the milas are, as it says over here, well, you have a little bit of an appreciation of different hashkafas. Person that's been around, has been here, been there. You know, you're very different. I know. I even relate. A lot of boys in Chaim Berlin who are very solid Chaim Berlin boys. Chaim Berlin, it's very cloistered. And when they leave to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, they leave to Eretz Yisrael. And they come back. They're different. The bubble has been burst. The bubble. I only know that because I grew up among them. But the truth is, it's true for everyone else. Any yeshiva, you live many years in one environment, and then you go somewhere else. You're exposed. No, there's a whole world out there. There's a whole world out there, and like not everyone is the same. And you know, maybe it's better for me to be in a different world. So it's not such a terrible thing for a person to go and have a taste of all different types of yadus. And in fact, you can find support for this from Chazal. And here is one example. Ashrei, praiseworthy, is the Odom, is the person, Shemeali Lishkot Al Dal Sosai Yom Yom. He doesn't just study under one teacher. He studies under a group of Rabbeim. He's diligent to go to many different doors. He goes to many different Bati Midrashim. And the Gemara gives an example. Now this, I'm sure you have to know the hashkafa. They were very different people. There was Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara gives an example. Gun Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva. They all lived in the same time. And fortunate is the person, the Gemara says, that was a student of all three. Because they were very different. Now, how are they very different? I don't know. I'm not a mumcha in understanding their hashkafa. You have to say, but we can get a little bit of an appreciation because Rabbi Eliezer was a shamute. Rabbi Eliezer was not tolerant. He was intolerant of people. He was very demanding.
Was he a borsid?
Rabbi Eliezer?
Yeah.
Could be, I don't remember. But Rabbi Eliezer was a shamuti. He was from Shammai. Shammai, someone came to Shammai and asked him a question. Shammai, he threw you out. He was intolerant.
Stringent.
Very, very harsh. Rabbi Akiva? It was about tshuva. He was about Shul. He was an Amal Aris until he was 40 years old. A whole different Ashkafa. Rabbi Eliezer, Pasha, Rabbi Eliezer, this little Pasha, Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Shimon. Rabbi Eliezer was in a cave from the time when he was an infant with his father. He didn't know from the outside world. Rabbi Akiva, for 40 years, he was a Ganef. He was Amal Aris. He had a Sinas Mavis for Talmidei Chachamim. He had a whole different Ashkafa. And Rabbi Yeshua, okay, I'm not familiar with Rabbi Yeshua, the details of Rabbi Yeshua, but he also had a different Ashkafa. So a person that comes to study under these three rabbis is obviously going to get a very different flavor of
blacksmith.
What?
Says Rabbi Shul was a blacksmith.
Yeah, Parnassa.
So is the difference a personality difference or a method?
Well, it comes out. You can't differentiate a person.
So you have the same thing within the one.
Okay, in Lachanami. So it's just an example. It's just a very broad example. And the Avos Rabbeinu Nosson says, Ashrei, if you have an opportunity to learn from different types of people, and everyone, Kishem Shepartsuf, Enam Shavas Kach, Deosem Enam Shavas, no one is the same. Everyone, there are certain things which excite, and people cleave to, people have Sibach HaNevesham. Ashrei, you good for you, fortunate are you. Some people, like we learn a Chassidus, to learn Tanya. They're in love with the Baal HaTanya. They can't get enough going to Shirim learning about Tanya. Some people like Kabbalah. Some people only like Daf Gemara. Some people like Nach. Some people, there are many mixos. Everyone, there's something different which appeals to everyone, and that is what it says here in this Chazal. Okay, let's go to another example. Okay, this is a very popular Chazal. Let's just jump for one moment to the next. When we come back, we're not finished. There's a lot more to do. We're just going to jump to the next part. The next part says, Ki motzi'i motza chayim. Someone who finds me, finds life. V'yofek rotza, this pasuk lamed, V'yofek rotza me'ashem, and he will extract. He will extract will, goodwill from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Poseach es yodecha, Hashem opens up his hand, umaspia, he satiates l'chol chai with rotzon, with will. A person that finds HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the recipient of the rotzon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the goodwill. What that means exactly is not clear, but whatever it means that we'll find that bracha of umaspia l'chol chai rotzon, it will be found from the person that finds life. Now let's look at the Mitzvah David first. David is Vayofek, Moitzi. The word Vayofek is a word which means to find. Moitzi Ratzon, Me Hashem, Ratzolema, Hashem, Yeh Merutzolo. Hashem will find favor, will be Merutzo, will be pleased with this individual. Now the reason why I wanted to mention this Pasuk Lam Hei in connection with Pasuk Lam Medal is the famous Gemara that says in the Pasuk, Omar, reading from the Gemara Masechta Brachos, Daf Ches, you all know the Gemara, Omar, Rabbi Shimon Levi, Libnei, Rabbi Shimon Levi said to his children, Kedimu v'chashichu v'ay, ayilchu l'bei k'nishta. Make sure you come early, and you leave late the Beis HaKnesses, so that, he told them why, ki heichi disorchu chaye, so that you will live long. Coming early to the Beis HaKnesses is the ultimate school of four, Arichas Yamim, for long life. How do we know this? Omar Rebbe Achab Rebbe Chanina, Micro, what's the source that coming early to the Beis HaKnesses and staying late and being last to leave is a skula? This Pasuk. Pasuk begins, Ashrei, fortunate, praiseworthy, Adam, Shomeli, who listens to my instructions of observing the Torah and coming and doing doing what you're supposed to do specifically what? Lishko, to be diligent, al dal sosai, in relation to my doors, yom yom, lishma mizuzos pesochai, and what's the very next pasuk that I just quoted? The next pasuk is, ki motzi, a person that finds me in the Beis HaKnesses, by coming early and finding the Shechin in the Beis HaKnesses, motza chayim, has found life. It is the school of Arichas Yom. The Gemara gives an example of one of the Amoraim. Do I have it over here? Give me, I have it in the other Sefer. Just one moment. Perek. In the Perek Ches. Famous story where okay, here's the famous Gemara. I'm surprised they don't have it here. Maybe I missed it. It's also the same Gemara, the Brachas Daf Ches. I don't know what happened here in the Sefer. The Gemara says, Amru Leil Rabbi Yochanan Ika Sabe Bebavel. They told Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the Rabban Shal Eretz Yisrael. He was the Rav. He was the Rav of Eretz Yisrael, the holy Rabbi Yochanan. They told him, guess what, in Bavel, there are people out there that are living very long lives. They're Zoychet HaArichas Yomim. Rabbi Yochanan says, what? How could that possibly? Toma, V'omar. Pasuk says, we say it in Kriya Shema, L'man Yarichu Yomecha, L'man Yirbu Yomechem, V'imei V'neichem, Al Ho Adama, only in Eretz Yisrael. So how could they be Zoychet HaArichas Yomim? So they said, Kevan, the Amri Luhu, since then they told Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan inquired, tell me about them. Tell me about their Seder Hayom. And it was revealed that they come very early to davening. Mekadmei u'mechashchei. They come early and they leave late. Lebei kenishta. Oh, of course they live long. Hainu da hanile. That's the secret. Amar Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chanina, my kirk, what's the source to what we just said? Ashrei Adam Shamei Ali Lishkad Al Dal Sosai Yom Yom Lishma Mizuzos Pesochai Uchsev Vasrei. The next pasuk is Ki Motzi Motza Chayim Arichas Yomim. Now, someone once told me, I don't know if this is true. Do you have to do? I don't know if anyone ever studied this scientifically. That all of the Shamosim in the Bate Kinesios live very long lives. Is that true? I don't know, but we don't. It's a dying profession. It doesn't exist anymore. We don't have a shamosim anymore. No Ayin Hara. All the fighting goes on. Okay, but it used to be in the olden days. They were real shamosim. They were real shamosim in the olden days. They don't have it anymore. Today you don't see shuls with a real shamus.
They have apartments above the shul. There.
For the shamus, the sexton, the reverend, in the Yom Yisrael of Flapush.
Shul, I remember the shul.
The famous, the Yom Yisrael of Flapush. What was his name? Reverend. No, that was the Friedman. With a D? Friedman? Reverend Friedman. He was called a Reverend. Reverend Friedman. He was the Shabbos. He lived. He had Arichas Yomim. How old was he? Well into his 90s.
You have that.
Okay, Arichas Yomim. I remember my father's shul, so there was a Mr. Stein. Mr. Stone, when I came already, he was already probably then an elderly man, and then he retired. It was too hard. He lived in Canarsie. It was too hard for him to travel every day. So first he didn't come on Shabbos, then he stopped coming during the week, and he was definitely Arichas Yomim. And then they had the Shlomo Edelman. He also had Arichas Yomim. He also wasn't a young man when he was Nifter. Now I don't think they have a Shamus anymore. After he retired, that's it. The whole thing fell apart. It's an autopilot. What? 91.
Most Shamusim started out there. They don't start as Shamus.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I don't know how true this is. You're right. I don't know. But it's a certain personnel. Like when I think about it, I think about when I was a child, the old Shamus, Mr. Stein. You know, I was never in shul, no matter how early I came, and he wasn't there. It didn't happen. It didn't exist such a thing. Whenever I was in shul, he was there. I never remember being in shul alone. He was there. No, here in Flapush. He was also a Shamus. He lived long.
Shamoshi used to be called
Bose. Right, okay. It was a profession. Reverend Friedman.
He did.
I davened him Mitzvah Shabbos. He would make the Havdalah. It was like the part of the furniture.
He was
exactly the part of the furniture.
The rabbi was up there.
Right.
Exactly.
It's something you don't have anymore today. You don't. This type of person you don't have. But it's someone that made this point to me. Again, I told you, I don't know, like you're saying, maybe because they started when they were older, and you know, all these other things you can say, they happen to live very long. It's a coincidence. But Chazal make this point, the people that come early and stay late are zeicha to arichas yamin, and we learned this Gemara, a person made this out, look and see. Go look at all of the shamosim. Look, they come early, they stay late, and look, they have arichas yamin. See, it's proven. It's proven that this thing is indeed true. Alright. Now there's another very popular Gemara. You must have all heard this. I know you all heard, but just to review, it's a Yalkut Shmoni. It's a very popular Yalkut Shmoni. The Gemara talks about a story. Maisa, I'll read you the entire thing inside. Maisa in this story is quoted not for this purpose. It's quoted in regard to suicide, assisted suicide, end of life issues. What's the story? I have only seen this. I don't think I've only seen this Gemara quoted in relation to today. It's a very popular topic because Rachman Al Tzlan, modern medicine can torture a person. To not death to life. So it's a very big it's an issue, and this Gemara always somehow comes up in the discussion of end of life issues. What's the Gemara? But the Gemara is really being used in the Gemara. The Yalkut Shmoni is really being said in the positive sense, not in a negative sense. What is the Yalkut Shmoni? Maise bi isha achas shezkina harbe, a very old woman. Okay, she was 200 years old. She came first to Chalafta and she said to him, Rebbe, I want to die. Enough is enough. I have lived long enough. All of my friends have died. I don't relate to these young people. They all run around the whole day looking at a machine in the street. I don't relate. You hear this every so often. You open up the news. I once heard a person, I was sitting with a person, they opened up the newspaper, they opened up via TED. Okay, the Ated Ne'eman. Okay, the English tradition of the Ated Ne'eman. And he opened up the page. I was sitting with this elderly fellow. And he looks at the person, looks at the pictures, and he says, oh, I remember him. And then when he was born. And then the next yeshiva dinner, they're honoring this person. Yeah, I knew his father. He was a Ganef. This one, yeah. And he turns the page. Him, they're honoring. Oh, he makes Litzanis. And he goes to the next page. And then he goes to page after page and he says, this is not my generation. I look at this paper and this is, to me, this is, it's not my world. It's not my world. I don't relate to anything I see here. These are all these young people, they don't know what they're doing. They have a whole different set of hashkafas and they this is not where I come. Is it good, is it bad, none of my business, but it's not my world. It's not my world. So this woman basically came to Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta and she said to him, that's it, it's not my world anymore, enough is enough. Look, yeah, you have a Choni Hamagel. Choni Hamagel fell with it for 70 years, he came back. It's not my world, I don't relate to these youngsters. I don't want to live anymore in this world. So he said, so she came to Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta, and came to Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta, and in fact there is such a story, which I think it is a medrash. There's a medrash about Shane ben Och, you just mentioned he died. Right, Shem Enoch died in a certain year, but there is a medrash that says that he lived forever almost. And then he met someone, and one of the, I don't even know who he met, one of the Tanoim Amoraim in a cave, and he said to him, I'm cursed that I'm living this long. I can't stand to live. And he did something that was able to end his life, because sometimes living too long is not a bracha. When you don't have any sipuk hanefesh. And that's exactly what this woman said to Rabbi Yosef Chalafta. And what was her advice? Her advice to her was, Rebbe, his kanti, yoyser midai. Too much. Yoyser midai. Who would say that today? U me'achshav chayim shel nivul heim. My life is disgusting. Shani to emes, she'eni to him, she says, I don't taste anything. Lebemach, lebemach, okay, fun, all these. Vani mevakeshes lipatem in olam, I want to die. Omar lo, Rabbi Yosef ben Chalafta said to her, tell me your seder hayom. What do you do in the morning? How do you live? Omar lo, mo. Mitzvah at lemuda la'asos b'chol yom. What do you do? What mitzvahs? Tell me your seder hayom. Amalos, so she said to him as follows. And this is very interesting because women today don't go to shul, right? Most women today, You know, they're always looking for an excuse not to go to shul. But she said to him, "Lemuda ani shafilu yeishli davar chaviv ani manechesoso umashkemes lebeit sakneses bechol yom." Even if I have a bris of my great 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 grandson, I don't go to the bris. I go to my local beit sakneses. I don't go to simchas. The most important thing for me is every day to come early to shachris. She davened in shul, that's what it says. She was a woman that fulfilled this Maimer Chazal. Ashrei, fortune is the person that's lishkoid al dal sosai yom yom. And I give up any delight in this world not to miss a day in my local Beis Sakneses. So he said to her, so he's Omar law, that's the reason why you're still alive. So listen to this incredible chazal. If you want to die, just don't go to shul for 3 days. Don't go to shul for 3 days. Holcha, she listened. She took ill and she died. Lekach Omar Shlomo, the Medrash Yalkut Shmoni concludes with this pasuk. Now you have a greater appreciation of how potent this pasuk is. Ashrei Adam Shomeli, Lishkod Al Dososai Yom Yom, Maksiv Achlov, Kimotzi Motzachayim. Through coming to the Beis Haknesses, he guaranteed to live a long time, even if you don't want to live. Even if you don't want to live, you live. So I began that this chazal is quoted as one of the important sources in dealing with end-of-life issues. A person says, I don't want this kind of life. Does a person have a right to say, I don't want to live anymore? I can't take it. I don't want to suffer like this. So the answer basically, many responsible Rabbanim say, yeah, that's right. You do have a right to end your life, not directly, but indirectly. Here she didn't go to the Beis HaKnesses. So what about not eating? Just don't feed me anymore. Don't put these tubes in me. Don't give me these medications. And in Mela, I will expire. So in Achanami, some want to suggest that you have a very valid makar from this chazal. Some will argue, no, this makar is a spiritual makar, just not to daven. But ad kdei kach, to do things or not to do things that are already in process to pull the plug.
Doesn't say daven.
Just don't daven.
Don't daven.
Okay, so this is it's obviously you can't bring a raya. You can dray like this and make. But it's something that is dealt with. It's something that someone will use as a source to come to the conclusion that he wants to reach. Okay, but this is a fascinating chazal.
Yeah, Buddha has just started.
Halachic will.
Yeah. Go against the doctor suggested method.
Hospice is dehydration and letting people die.
Hospices are letting people die. So
even
the
hospital.
What?
Even hospital.
The trend now is that they try to put you out of your misery as soon as possible.
They don't want to deal with it.
It's expensive. It's money. It's money. It's not the only certain number of days is it profitable. There's a whole system to this. Person in the hospital, it's only profitable for the hospital to be there for, there's a statistic, 7-8 days. Once you get past
hospice,
that,
it's only for 2 weeks. They
then there's the hospice comes in. Right. It's a very complicated issue. But it, about a year ago? This was in the letters in the FJJ, back and forth, the pros and cons. Okay, it's a very big issue. It's a very big issue among the goyim. Forget about among us, among the goyim. And then when halacha comes,
even among the Jewish people,
and now when you,
and
now when you come into halacha, right? When you come into halacha, it gets even more complicated.
A lady who converted many years ago, a Jewish relative.
Yeah.
One of the without mentioning names, one of the biggest askanim in the area of
Hatzair
of Bikur Chayim was sick. And she went to a hospital where she was a trustee of the hospital, and they had to fight the hospital to give her the appropriate service. Because the hospital, we're talking about, they had the best connections in the world, and the doctors wanted to, you know.
Yeah, okay, so it's very complicated, obviously. All right. Okay, there's another medrash. The other medrash is Ashrei Adam Shomea Li. Shomea Li, what is Li? Li in Chazal often, more often than not, means Lishma. only time the person is a recipient of the bracha is only when it's l'shem shamayim. Ashrei Adam shomei ali. You're doing it, you're listening it, li l'shmi. You're coming to the Beis HaKnesses daily, l'shem shamayim. Then a person will merit. Now, on the other hand, I heard a var just the opposite, and this, that if a person comes to the Beis HaKnesses every single day, it's a muftach that he's a tzaddik. Why? It is impossible to daven in the same place every single day and not to have complaints against the rabbi, the gabbai, the Baal Tzvila. That's the way life is. After you're there for more than a few weeks, they didn't give me an aliyah. This one insulted me. That one insulted me. He opens the window. He closes the window. The air conditioner. This one did this avla. So why do you come back? So go to another shul. Go somewhere else. The answer is, I don't come here for you. I come here for Hashem. So the fact that a person comes back every single day for a long period of time, it has to be that it's li, he's coming l'shem shemayim, he's not coming for his personal pleasure, because he cannot possibly have survive. Okay, now another idea. What? Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst. You know the joke. I told you this joke before. The person that has a relative who's the president of the shul, big shul. So he comes to shul, the relative or the friend, and he's staying by the president, and the president is sitting in the front on the stage with the rabbi. And this friend, no one knows that this friend is staying by the president. He's a relative. He's a friend. He's sitting in the audience, sitting in the shul, and he's sitting down, and he hears next to him one of the balabatim during davening, of course, talking, and is cursing out the president. What a president! You know what he did? He did this and did this. So after a few minutes, he can't take it anymore. So he changes his seat. He goes to the other side of the Beis HaKnesses, and sure enough, another conversation cursing out the president, and this goes on the entire Shabbos. After Shabbos is over, the friend, the relative, says to the president when he's leaving, just tell me one thing. Why do you want to be president here? What do you get out of being president? So he says, don't you know? I do it for the kavod. Okay, and this is so true. Don't. This is not a joke, unfortunately. Yeah. Okay, one more. Okay. Let's see one more interesting. This is a shocking tanchuma. It's a medrash mishlei, which is really a tanchuma. Or every tanchuma. Medrash mishlei perikhes. Medrash mishlei.
You said tanchuma.
Amar Rabbi Tanchuma, the one that the Medrash Mishlei is quoting the Rabbeinu Tanchuma, so I guess it's there as well. I don't know where, you have to do a computer search. But this is shocking. This appears, I don't think we have this in the Gemara. We all know that on a door you only put up one mezuzah, right? Only put up one mezuzah. But the truth is, it's machlokes tanaim, how many mezuzos one is required to put up on every door. Because the pasuk literally says chasavtam al mizuzos beisecha. Beisecha means your bias, your singular bias. The post, how many mizuzos do you have on a bias? Two. And now we live in a very high-tech world where every bias has 20 doors. But make it right that you only have to put on the mezuzah on the outermost door. So why does it say mezuzos b'loshon rabim on when it connects to the word beisecha? So simply the answer, which is the halacha, it means every individual. You have a bias, you have a bias, you have a bias. So on everyone who has a bias, each person should put up one mezuzah on the post of their bias. That's the simple answer. But yet, according to one opinion in this medrash, maybe it's a gemara, I don't think it's a Gemara, that you mechuyev to put up on the door two mezuzos, one on the left, one on the right. Can you imagine all the soifrim? What, they would have a heyday? It's a gold mine? What? No. Shlok halach. You do it's bal toisef. Halach l'maisi pasuk that it's you're not even allowed to. And if you were to do so, it would be a bal toisef. Bal toisef.
One mezuzah for the whole house.
One mezuzah. So that I believe is mikra. I did it. So that's in the rabbanim. Mid rabbanim, you put up. You're not mechuyev to. Min haTorah, if I'm not mistaken, you only mechuyev to put a mezuzah on the Pesach to the outermost. Pesach entrance, and that's why that should be mechuder. A person has limited funds for mezuzos. The most mechuder mezuzah should be the one that goes on the front door, and the other is, if I'm not mistaken, only midrabanan. The front door is deraisa, so that should be the most expensive mezuzah. You have to be very careful because the outdoor is where it rains, and it's and subject to the climate, the sun, and the cold, hot elements. So you really need to get a thermal mezuzah.
the ones.
They make, but a lot of people, unfortunately, when it comes to the front door, it's all for show. It should look nice. You know, the front door, you have to have a nice lantern and a nice front door, a nice, you know, a nice number sign. Today, it's how you have to have nice LED lights up at night and all this, all these fancy gizmos. So it comes to the mezuzah, so you just get the nicest looking mezuzah, even though it's not the best to protect the mezuzah outdoor. It's very important. So the Gemara over here says, the Medrash here says as follows, this shocking thing it says, let me show you what it says over here. Oh, chasavtem al mezuzos beisecha, Rabbi Levi Omer. Okay, this is a Tana. Shtei mezuzos. A person is mechuyev to put up on every door two mezuzos. Mezuzah achas mikan, or mezuzah achas mikan. On each post, one on the right, one on the left. Rabbi Yishmol Omer, this is how he paskin, mezuzah achas. On that Rabbi Yudim in Cain, if that's the case, only one mezuzah, why then does it say lishmar mezuzos pesochai? We have a pasuk here as well. The pasuk here says, plural, lishmar to guard the mezuzos pesochai. Shem yesh v'odim shnei pesochim. It means to say the person has two pesochim on his bias. Tzorech beiz mezuzos, mezuzah bezem, mezuzah bezem. If you have a front door and a back door. If you have a front door to your house and a back door to your house, you need to put mezuzah on the front door and the back. It doesn't mean that in the house you have a kitchen and a dining room and a bedroom and a secret closet for all of your favorite toys. doesn't mean that. It means the front door and the back door. What you learn indirectly from this medrash is that when it says mezuzos pesochai, not like the Gemara said, fortunate is the person who comes in two entranceways, a delas lefnimit hadelas. According to this interpretation, it means the front door and the back door. Person is a guardian on all the different entrances and exits to the person's bias. Now, what's the lumdis? There's an interesting idea. This ties into Hanukkah. Hanukkah is not so far away. This ties to Hanukkah. Why? What's the lumdis of why a person should have two mezuzos? One on the right, one on the left. And the mezuzah is forms protection. Where do you need protection? Inside the bias. When you go in the bias, derech biyascha, on the entrance, the person enters with his right foot. The right is symbolic of the entrance. The purpose of the mezuzah is to provide a shemira on what's inside the house. Does a person need shmira for what's outside the house? So according to that's the machlekes. According to Rabbi Levi, yes. The mezuzah is not just a shmira for what's in the house. When you leave your house, you pass the mezuzah on the right. And you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protect me when I go out into the world. When I come into my house, I pass the mezuzah on the right. Hashem, protect me when I come inside. When you leave, the left post of the bias is the right post on your way out. So when you leave the bias, according to Rabbi Levi, you have to have a mezuzah because you're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, protect me when I leave the house in the big wide world. Protect me. Halacha l'maaseh, we don't pass like that. That's not acceptable because, and the world outside in the world, that's not the shmira is not the mezuzah. There are other forms of shmira. What they are, or whatever they are, Torah, Mila, whatever they are, the other forms of Shemira. However, there is one time when we do put up a mezuzah on the left side, and that is Chanukah. Chanukah, the Ner, a mezuzah, Me'ikar Hadin, mezuzah miyamin, and Ner Chanukah mismol. Why is Ner Chanukah mismol? The Ner Chanukah mismol is in the place of the mezuzah of Rabbi Levi. Just like Rabbi Levi says, there should be a mezuzah on the left side to provide protection when you leave. What is Ner Chanukah? The whole purpose of Ner Chanukah is to be seen in the chutz, is to sanctify the street, so to speak. The mezuzah is in the Rishus Harab, when people are traveling, Persume Nisa, in the street, outside, it should be seen. It's in order to protect, Klal Yisrael needs protection in Golus, in the outside. Chanukah is a rabbinic holiday which was enacted in order to protect us in Golus. Even though it's true that the mitzvah of Chanukah happened during the time of the Bayis Sheni, but it was during the time of the Bayis Sheni that was already winding down towards the Tkufa when Golus was going to begin. The Golus was on the horizon, and Chazal were already setting up takanos to prepare Klal Yisrael for the Churban Bayis Sheni, when we would need Shmira in the big wide world. So Chanukah is bedafka on the left side of the bayis as a symbolic that Chanukah is a shmirah for Klal Yisrael when they leave Eretz Yisrael, when they leave the privacy of the Beis Hamikdash, they leave their home and they go out into the wide world, they should be protected with the Ner Chanukah and everything that the Ner Chanukah represents, the Tahara, the purity of the Ner Chanukah should go with us. And that's really alluded to in this Medrash, in what it says here, Mizuzos Pesachai. Fortunate is the person who's diligent to listen to Hashem when you go in the Beis HaKnesses and when you leave the Beis HaKnesses. There are many people who are tzaddikim in shul. They come to shul, they put on talis and tzillin and everything is good and they shakel, and then they go out to work and they mechal shem shemayim, the biggest ganovim and the biggest mechal with the nivel pen, all the terrible things that go on in the workplace. That's not you're not Shemeli. You may have come be the first one to come early to davening, but when you walked on the way out, it's the mezuzos. The mezuzah on the right when you come in and the mezuzah on the left when you go out. You have to guard that mezuzah just like you guard the mezuzah when you came in.
Very interesting that a lot of the Kilayim take they always have mezuzahs on their houses and they always have Hanukkah. They light Hanukkah.
Both the mezuzos pesachar, they focus on both.
Yeah. Friday is the yard site of Matasyoch.
Matasyoch, Kohen Gadol.
Right, that's right.
We know that for sure. Pretty good.
That's what my count.
Okay. No tachlin. Okay, we'll stop.